everybody. Thanks for joining us for another great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zellinger. I mean, if you're joining us at this point, folks, you're doing it because we are. We just love the Tigers, and we have to talk about it. Good, bad, or ugly. It's Tell the Truth. Well, not Monday, but it's Tell the Truth Sunday, and that's what we're going to do. Tigers suffer a horrible loss to the visiting Alabama Crimson Tide, 42-13. I mean, you might as well just let that last second touchdown off and just call it what it was, which was just an ugly blowout loss. We'll get into that. I mean, we weren't the only ones. There were some other bad games, or I guess you could say upsets, par for the course this year, but we'll get into all of that in a second. Tommy, Daniel, I hope you guys are doing well in spite of this. I mean, the Saints got a win today, which was a nice, especially against the division rivals, Falcons. But I don't know. Tommy, I guess I'd love to hear from you, too, because you were at this game. And, yeah, I was hoping to hear have some better news to talk about with you, but not the case.
Yep. Hey, good to be with you. I was at the game, reported live from Tiger Stadium, and very disappointing game for us. But I guess, there's really not much good to take out of it, but we'll get into it. But yeah, happy to be here and happy to be talking about college football with you this week again.
Right. It's the week that all LSU fans have circled on their calendar, and the buildup was mighty with College Game Day in the quad at LSU and the theatrics of the live Tiger being in the cage back in the stadium, which we can discuss as well. So we were all hyped up, and then it was just a deflated balloon on the field as the rain came down and LSU looked lifeless out there. So it was tough to watch on TV, and I'm sure it was even tougher in person. So I'm not jealous of you, Tommy, but there's not much saving this season after that one. So we'll have to look elsewhere, but I guess we can do a bit of a postmortem on what all went wrong for the Tigers, because that list will certainly be pretty lengthy.
Yeah, it's going to be a full autopsy on this one. We're going to have to go from head to toe because it was just that bad. It was so bad we don't even know what to point it to. I think it last week you could have said, or the last loss, you could have blamed it on Nussmeier. But I don't know. I think it still goes down to the coaching, and I think there's a lot of people making a claim already. They're just asking, how much is BK's buyout? Like, do we want to look at that now? Like, I don't know. The guy's done okay first 3 years, right? Like, if he doesn't lose another game this season, he's matched his previous, right? He's had three losses in each one of those. He won the division first year, had a Heisman contender after that. So, I don't know. Is this just BK? We're going to be right at that same level where we were with Miles, kind of, where we're always on the outside looking in? Or is it, hey, it just hasn't been the right collection of players? I mean, Ed O won a title with the right players. I mean, it wasn't in their first year. Maybe Nuss just needs a second year. I don't know, Tommy. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could spin it or try and just fluff it up for next year. Pipe dreams, as I would call it. But I mean, you were there. I mean, did you see anything in that game that made us think that this team just – they do have it in them. They just didn't perform well yesterday? Or is this like – are we kidding ourselves?
I think you're kidding yourself. That was the most embarrassing performance I've ever seen in person. We've seen some bad games. I mean, the UCLA game in 2020, that's one that immediately jumps to mind. You go back to, what is it, 2017 in Wisconsin? Or no, that wasn't 2017. That was 2016.
2016.
Yeah, in Wisconsin. I mean, you go back to some of these historically bad performances by LSU, and their number. This was easily the worst I've ever seen in person, and up there with some of the worst. The amount with the buildup, the amount of time they had to prepare, 2 weeks to prepare. It really looked like they had absolutely no answers for the things that you knew were going to be there. It's not like they, you know, Alabama put out some new player that you'd never seen before. You knew it was going to be Jalen Milroe. He's played.
I'm sorry, real quick. Was that the guy that ran for 4 touchdowns? I'm just trying to.
You might not have heard of him before.
Okay.
I
don't know. I check in and here and there. So he is good. This Milroe.
He's pretty decent. See, Scott, just to remind you, last year he also ran for 4 touchdowns.
Been there before.
Oh, okay. That now makes sense.
So this is a man who in his career against LSU has ran for 8 touchdowns in in 120 minutes of game time. So they had no answer for it. I honestly, defense wasn't great, but the offense was every bit worse. And I mean, I would say this falls on the offense. I think it falls on the play caller. I think it falls on Nussmeier. It was another poor performance from him. The amount of time that defense spent on the field, I mean, we were anemic with the ball. And it was either interception, fumble, or punt, three and out for most of the game. Just totally disappointing. The energy was there in the stadium. I mean, through the first half, the game was virtually, it was lopsided early in the game, but the energy was there. The fans were there. It was packed stadium. That was as energetic I've seen a Tiger Stadium as ever. And the team just was not there. They didn't show up at all. Nobody showed up. Like, there was not a bright spot, I would say. I mean, Whit Weeks had a decent game. He might be the only bright spot. Caden Durham had a really nice run. Then they stopped giving the ball for some reason I don't really understand. That's the only thing I can think of.
I agree. It was a failure in pretty much all aspects. The energy was there right at the beginning. The crowd was loud. Alabama fall started on the first snap of the game, and they were backed up, I think, on their own 20-yard line. And then the immediate answer is Jalen Milroe scrambles. We have him dead to rights at like the 5-yard line for a huge loss. And then he evades two edge rushers, weasels his way out for like a 25-yard scamper, and you're like, well, it's going to be a long day right off the rip. And then they continue to march right down the field, put up 7 on the first drive, and then that kind of set the tempo for the rest of the game. LSU had a chance to answer with that big Caden Durham run, like you mentioned. We were down at the 5. We had first and goal at the 5 after the Durham run, and then the red zone offense came to play, and we ended up kicking a field goal. So if we had answered right there, then we're in the game and we're trading blows. But as it was, we were on the back foot, and we never regained our stance in the boxing match. Things were, I mean, it was rough for a little while, but we were still kind of hanging around. And then
if we could just get to the, into the freaking end zone in the first half, it's a different game. Like you said, I mean, it's there's some fight in this team, mm-hmm. but the fact that we cannot get even in the red zone, we cannot get into the end zone it's inexcusable.
Right. And we were still even in it kind of deep into the second quarter. When we got a big stop on fourth down versus Alabama, they were driving, I think at like the 30, and we stop them on 4th-and-1. And then the hype is back up. You can hear the crowd noise start building again on the TV. And then literally the next play, Garrett Nussmeier goes back and it's a strip sack fumble, and Alabama punches it right back in to take like a 3-score lead. And so you're like, oh my goodness. It was kind of like every time we get a chance, we shoot ourselves in the foot. We're marching down the field, and we've called it out plenty of times. Will Campbell had a couple of bad penalties, holding and false starts. And there were a few of those on the defensive end as well. But just a lackluster performance and uninspired play calling. You saw Josh Williams up the middle for no gain quite a few times. And then Garrett Nussmeier like kind of throwing out route passes that sail over the receiver's head and land too deep in the bench as well. So everybody just looked lost out there. And I don't know how you motivate the guys to play better, but there seemed just a lack of energy all across the board, which was just depressing to watch.
Well, and you think, okay, is it a lack of motivation? Is it poor coaching, or is it a lack of preparation, or is it this team's just not that good. And you know what? Like the play at the key parts, like there are some decent players on this team, but at the key points that maybe we thought were better, I think this offensive line has been a huge disappointment throughout the entire year. I don't understand how, and I mean, he'll go on and he'll probably make money in the NFL and be successful and, you know, make more money than I do in life. But the fact that Will Campbell cannot just stay, you know, cannot be on to on the snap count and cannot, like, he costs us so much throughout this season in stupid penalties. That when you're supposed to be like the number one overall pick, you like, or at least a top five, top 10 pick, it just doesn't make sense to me. I feel like the amount of, I'm at a loss for words. It's just terrible.
Sure. But I would say it's totally on the coaching at this point. I mean, you have talent, there's been guys not executing, but Brian Kelly said it in his post game press conference. It's like, we didn't have our guys in a position to win, or like they weren't prepared. They had 2 weeks, and I could have told you, this is going to be our play calling. First down, we're going to throw. If we get it, I don't know, maybe we'll throw again. But if we miss it, we're definitely going to hand off up the middle. And then that's going to set up a 3rd and 9 or a 3rd and 10. And then we're going to have to throw it, and then we'll punt it. That's pretty much what it was. I think at this point it's on Joe Sloan. I don't know why it was. Maybe it was better with Jaden because he hit a lot of this, because he could run or throw or do both. But, yeah, I don't know. I still don't know if it's all in us, because he definitely made some mistakes. But, I mean, it's so predictable that you could see it. All they do now is rush. I mean, they're rushing constantly. He doesn't have any time. So what are you going to do? They know we don't run the ball. That's what it boils down to. And until they can establish that or mix it up something, it falls on our coaching staff, Brian Kelly. I don't know. I would say it's finally coming to fruition what people, Notre Dame fans, are trying to say, but I don't know. I mean, he definitely has his hands on this, right? Because he could say, mix it up, guys. This is so predictable. We're passing, then we're rushing, then we're passing, or a mix of that. So it's just it's so asinine at this point where they're not doing anything different, that it has to fall on Kelly. It has to fall on Sloan. I don't know what the players can do, although I don't know. I mean, we have lost some guy. We don't really have a deep threat, right? Chris Hilton's still MIA, but until the guys can run, they can't open it up downfield. They're expecting us to just chuck it and avoid a sack.
And that's kind of what Nuss Meyer does. His deep ball accuracy, to be honest, has been kind of poor. And that's where you see a lot of those balls just kind of even uncatchable. But you mentioned Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. He had already had some of that reputation as big game Brian, where he can beat all the little guys. But when it comes down to the prime time matchups at Notre Dame, he's playing USC or Ohio State or whatever, but they never show up. They can't win it in the playoff. And we've seen some of that at LSU too, where they had the big game against Alabama 2 years ago that we won on the 2-point conversion, and we beat Ole Miss this year. So it's not like we're without any results, but you would just like to see the team take the next step. And whenever we're on this national stage, you can't just come out and lay an egg in front of all your 110,000 fans and all the recruits that are there, and the national audience as well. Like, if I was a high school senior and watching LSU play yesterday, I might be kind of reconsidering what I'm doing.
Even Bryce Underwood?
I hope not. He was in attendance. He was in attendance with an LSU shirt. his shirt had Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, and himself on it. So maybe he's saying that he's going to be the next Heisman winning quarterback. But hopefully he stays locked in, which you never really know at this point.
You don't. But I think we do know that I don't know. We could see Nuss stick around for next year, or, you know, is it Ricky Collins time? Because I don't know if we really have it this year or next year, unless there's somebody else that can just step right in. But I mean, you saw much more success with Joe and Jaden in year two, so maybe that's the difference, right? But no, it's like there's still well, there was plenty to play for. I think we kind of know that these Tigers are not in playoff contention, but that's fine because we know they're not really a playoff team anyway, right? Based on a personal level with our players, but also with our coaching staff. I think we've peaked at certain points in the season. We saw what it could be, but I think ever since Texas A&M took over in the second half, Alabama had 2 weeks to prepare for just that, and it was a lot worse. Like, we couldn't even do anything. Like, we got two field goals, right, until garbage time at the end. So what do you do? That means we have to go to Florida now, and then we have two other games where before we thought, okay, we could finish out the season. Maybe we'd be in the SEC title talk, but nah, I don't know.
Well, the hope was that we could maybe split these games between A&M and Alabama, and we could definitely take a loss there and be at two losses and then close it out with games that are not gimmies, but that are not impossible, with Florida, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma to close the season. And at that point, you're definitely in the thick of it for the playoff discussion. But we had a bad one against A&M, and that put us in do or die mode, and then we just rolled over against Alabama. So any and all playoff hopes are extinguished at this point, and we're playing for that Pop-Tarts Bowl berth or wherever we're going. I guess it maybe spoils somebody else's season. Well, there's not really anybody else to spoil, because Florida and Oklahoma are both disappointments, and Vanderbilt, they're already got their big win against Alabama. So maybe see you in 2025. So it's a tough way to kind of close this chapter of the season. I mean, the season is not over, but for playoff hopes, pretty much effectively is.
Unless everybody else,
it's over, and it deserves to be over after that. Like, I don't want to see this team go to the playoff. Like, I would not. This team is not. They just don't have it, and I don't know if you did you see Brian Kelly's his post game interview where they asked him about, like, did this team quit? He goes, no. They scored with 17 seconds left. This team didn't quit. I'm like, oh wow, yeah. So you're gonna take some success out of scoring in garbage time. That's cool.
It was bad because Bama had their backups in and they were still scoring on us, and we had our starters in. We still couldn't score on their second string defense until the very last second.
I mean, it's just it was just an embarrassment.
Did y'all know that Jalen Milroe threw his last pass with 2 minutes left in the third quarter? Bama didn't throw a pass the entire fourth quarter.
I did know that. I mean, they did not score a single touchdown on throws, right?
Right. He only had 100 yards passing, but they just ate us up in the run game.
He ran all over us. And I just think this team and this program has no identity anymore. I don't know what we're selling. I don't know what we're selling to Bryce Underwood. You know what I mean? Like, It was clear during the, in the 2010s, like, in the Les Miles era, even on into Ed Orgeron for a while, we were selling, look, we're going to put out one of the best defenses in the country. We're going to have athletes everywhere. We're going to be fast. We're going to be very physical on both sides of the ball. And, we're going to have a hard nosed, run attack. We're going to run it down your throat and impose our will on you. And then quarterback play was a secondary. It was not the pinnacle of our offense, which was okay. We had some success that way. Then you get Joe Burrow, which is a godsend. And, you have the best, you have everything I just mentioned, plus Joe Burrow, the best quarterback probably ever played college football. But after that, I don't know what we're selling. You know what I mean? Like, we're recruiting some of these top athletes. We haven't recruited well on the defensive side of the ball. We haven't been able to put a defense together that is, able to do anything well in today's college football. And then, we've gone out and we've had top recruiting classes, but I just don't know why they don't. Like, what is it? Mismatch management of our talent? Are we not effectively evaluating people in high school and picking the people that we need? I'm not sure, but if we're going to be, competitive over the next couple of years, because this, this crop of players we have on this team right now, I don't think they can, I'm not convinced they can get it done regardless of who the coach is or who the coordinator is. But I think that, you know, if you go hit the portal hard, you recruit well, and this next year, like 25, you know, maybe you can improve a little bit. But I don't have any faith in, I mean, just think about it. Who is our star? I don't want to say star, but who is like our tested player you can count on? It's like, okay, no matter what, this guy's gonna be good. I mean, who is our Devin White or our a Clyde or a Darius Geis? Or, you know what I mean? Like, there were years where even when they weren't, like, I'm not saying every time, every year we have to have some guy who's going to be number one overall or win the Heisman or be a, you know, be the top player in the whole SEC. But for years, we just had solid, solid, solid players we could pretty much always count on. And on this team, I can't name a single one. Even Kyron Lacy, even Whit Weeks, Even Caden Durham. I mean, Josh Williams. No. Can you name a single person? I can't.
Well, I think if you could name one person, it's because they have success because maybe most of the other people on the field with them at that time did their job. But I don't think everyone's doing their job all the time. That's why there's no cohesiveness. There's no unity, there's nothing. We looked flat on offense. We came out flat. The team was not prepared. I mean, you had all the makings, like you said earlier, full stadium, full of energy, had a live tiger on the field, which still got to get into, by the way, because I don't know. It's like it was a live tiger, but it wasn't Mike the Tiger. It was a Rent-A-Tiger. Are we going to do this again? Because I don't know. It made sense back in the day because kind of scared the opposing team, but it was like a publicity stunt. I don't know. But anyway, you had all these recruits in house. It was a night game, but we just, the Tigers did not look like they were ready to play, even though they had 2 weeks to prep for it. So don't know. I think our team is what it is. Brian Kelly can definitely overachieve. Maybe he can get but this is basically his team. You know, I mean, Nuss was there before him, I think, but still, it's his team. You know, he's going to have his recruits. If he needs a transfer QB, then they should be there by now, or they should be in the works. But I don't know if we even have that. Do you see the picture of him looking Blake Baker?
Yes.
And he's just like, "Come on, bro." And Blake's like, "I mean, I don't know, man. They're good. He's this Milroy guy. He's actually good." That was the look. That was the picture, the caption, basically. That kind of says it all, right? Kelly's like, "Are you kidding me? Are you trying to get me fired?"
I mean,
might be getting himself fired.
I was about to say, yeah. At this point, the that seat. We've talked about it. We've teased it. We've danced around the conversation, and I think it's fair to put the seat on hot. You know, I think it's fair to turn that dial on the stove. For a while, we were simmering. You know, maybe you kind of had it on low. It's kind of like, you know, for a Thanksgiving dinner, you just want to keep everything warm. People aren't there yet. But I think we're trying to sear something right now. Like, you're turning it on hot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he cools down. Maybe he lands like a Bryce Underwood and actually can put something together. And maybe this is one of those moments where, hey, look, this team's just not there yet. We just don't have the pieces we need, all of that. But I do not. I've seen some people kind of saying, like, well, I mean, like in 2018, you know, Burrow lost to that LSU team, lost to Bama by 30 points, and look what they did the next year. Like, this team is just not there yet. I don't see this. I don't see a similarity. I think that this. That 2018 team had a lot more fight, had a lot more edge to them than this does. They were way more physical.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't think they would have let Milroe just run roughshod over us. I mean, it was just, it's like, again, what the QBs before this game have done, you know, South Carolina, A&M. There's been others too, but it's like, you know, they're going to do that. But it's just, A, they didn't see it coming, it seems, and B, they didn't know how to stop it. They didn't make any adjustments, and he just kept running. So, yeah, that's on Baker. Maybe he's, I don't know.
Now, I think there is, and not to make an excuse for Baker, but what if we just literally do not have a person in our building that can play effective defense like that? That can run down Jalen Milroe. I think that's a possibility. I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Yeah, you'd think back in the day, even if our defense had some holes, there's probably one guy that could at least run down the quarterback and
mm-hmm.
have that.
And it was weird because
we made him look like Cam Newton or something.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the deal is with this running quarterback thing where you know what they're going to do. They're a running quarterback. They're going to run. And yet we literally act like this is Pop Warner football out there when a man who can move his feet just a little bit steps on the field. We narrowly escaped South Carolina's backup quarterback, Robbie Ashford. We let Texas A&M's backup quarterback, Marcel Reed, dash for three touchdowns or whatever it was. And then, Jalen Milroe last night. So the proof is in the pudding there. And like you just have to counter that in some way, shape, or form. I'm not the defensive strategist to tell you exactly what to do, but make someone's assignment just to contain this man for a little bit. I don't think any of the remaining teams we have someone to that threat level in terms of running, but it's just a weird quirk. Is like, why can we not handle this? And other teams know it against us. They're going to run it against us because they know we can't stop it. So that's what it is.
I don't think that Florida has that. They were kind of breaking in a new quarterback yesterday, and oh boy, did they. I mean, they got right after Florida's AD said, Billy's going to be here next year. After that good showing against Georgia, didn't get the win, but they gave Georgia all they could handle. And then Georgia ultimately lost this week against Ole Miss. So I feel like they were finally kind of exposed. Although with the way the playoff is, I mean, everyone keeps losing. They could still be in it. But we got to face them next week on the road. I don't think their QB is going to be doing that against us. But if I'm Billy Napier and I got a third stringer, probably a walk-on guy, you know, let's put Rudy in. Rudy was a dual threat in high school. Let's try it. They can't stop it. Let's just try it.
Why hopefully not? So. I'll be in attendance in Gainesville. First time going there. I'm making the trip. So we'll see how that goes. I've heard it's a pretty hostile environment for opposing fans. The Gator faithful aren't very kind. So we'll see if that's true or not. But yeah, I just want LSU to do okay. If we lose to Florida at this point, that's pretty embarrassing. Their athletic director put their faith in Billy Napier and said he'll have at least another year, and then they immediately get thrashed by Texas, like you said, with their third string quarterback. So you can't blame them too bad against one of the best teams in the country, but things not so great in the swamp. But going to be the battle of the mediocre teams at this point, and kind of playing for pride. So we'll see how the Tigers shape out, and will we see some backup quarterbacking by LSU? Maybe, given how Nussmeier finished that game. I wouldn't want to make any promises, but given the fact that we're not making the playoff, maybe they test a few little weird things out in terms of looking towards the future. So that could be one to watch for this week.
Quick question. Are you going to wear your Burrow jersey to the game?
I might. I'm not sure. I guess, yeah, we beat Florida in 2019, so they'll probably remember that one. Beat them in 2020 as well to spoil their playoff hope in the shoe game, although that one was in the swamp, yeah. So 2019 was in Baton Rouge. That was we were all doing the Gator Chomp. That was the last time it was game day before Alabama this week.
Yeah. Man, that'll make – and also this game will make – I mean, it'll probably be more than another 5 years before we go back to – before game day comes back to LSU after that.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, I mean, speaking of, it was cool. There were students camping out overnight just for game day. There was like up to a $750,000 charity donation if this guy hit the field goal. Didn't even – oh, my goodness, he shanked it so bad. But still – I mean, it was all great. Great. I mean, Nick Saban loved walking around being in Baton Rouge again. I could see from the pictures anyway. Went into the football ops building, which was, you know, kind of the thing that he built. He had never been in it. That was his baby, actually. So I'm pretty sure that Scott Woodward gave him a tour. Probably put a little extra shine on it for Nick, just in case, because, you know, Nick's, you know why he left. You know, he just didn't want to deal with the whole NIL thing and dealing with that and players and their parents coming and just talking about a dollar figure as opposed to, you know, what this could mean for them. So, I don't know. Maybe he would want to be a defensive coordinator again. So, I don't know. We'll see. But Scott gave him the velvet rope tour. Hopefully it kind of stirred up something for Nick, because I think he really liked LSU and Baton Rouge. He just, you know, he had something in his heart, but I don't know. Any chances of that being rekindled?
I mean, you know, the story goes that after, you know, a very short time with the Dolphins, he called LSU and said, "Hey, can I come back? I hate it here. This is not working out." And we said, "No, we're good. We got this guy Les Miles. He's better than you." So another you know, another notch in the LSU story of fumbling the bag, because I mean, imagine if we'd said, "You know what? Actually, yeah, we'd like you back."
Yeah, that was on Skip Bertman, though, wasn't he? Was AD at the time.
And Bertman didn't like Saban. You know what I mean? They say that Bertman liked being the big dog on campus, like being the Don of LSU. And Saban at LSU, you know, Saban wanted his way. He wanted everything. He wanted, you know, X 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 to be exactly how he wanted it. To build his program. Obviously, when you give him the keys and you give him all the everything he asks for, you end up with a lot of success. That's what Alabama did, and that's what George is doing for Kirby right now. But you know, Bertman didn't like it. Bertman felt like that he was the big dog at LSU, the guy who gotten it done, the guy who, you know, put LSU on the map, and he didn't want anyone else to you know, take that from him.
Sure. Well, it's probably also, it's like, look, he probably saw, well, Saban was thinking, "Oh, I need this, and this to win." It's like, just win. I didn't have stuff when I came here. It was just up here in my brain. But maybe that's what it was, because, I mean, they're both old, right? But, I mean, there's still like a generation between them. But anyway, I don't know. It was unfortunate. But once I heard that LSU said, "Nah, we can't right now. Sorry." And then he just goes on to lead what became our rival to just, you know, a quick dynasty. It's just like, damn.
I think the sentiment towards Saban is softened a little bit since his retirement from Alabama, because when he left the Dolphins for Alabama, he was a big traitor. Everybody hated him. And then they take off like a rocket and they're winning championship after championship. And LSU fans are all bitter because they're like, "Why can't that be us? It should have been us." And they're giving us yearly beatdowns, both in Baton Rouge and in Tuscaloosa. And that really felt bad. But now that he's retired, it's kind of like, it's not that all is forgiven, but it's like, well, it's in the past. He's not leading the crusade against us anymore. And yeah, that realization that he did kind of put us on the map and get the program wheels spinning to what was the first of three national championships in this century, a lot more than we had in the last like five decades at all. Yeah. So the respect is growing. And I think overall he was welcomed back to Baton Rouge with pretty happy sentiment. Obviously there'll always be a little bit of resentment there, but it's kind of moved on at this point, and now we can find someone else to really hate, which hasn't really happened yet. I don't know who the next target of LSU's ire will be. Maybe Lane Kiffin, I guess, but he's a little bit too likable to put down like that.
I mean, I don't know if you can hate him that much when, I mean, don't look now, but is he a target for us? Like, I feel like if you buy Brian Kelly out, you say, "Look, this didn't work. Here's your payout. Let's try this thing again. A&M did it. We'll do it again too." Lane Kiffin's probably top of your list.
Yeah, but again, is he going to take what's in essence a lateral move? Like, is he just going to go over to LSU from being at Ole Miss when I'm pretty sure other people have already approached him and he stayed there? Unless he's just got a thing about LSU, like maybe some of these other coaches do. But
I think LSU, there's a little bit of difference. It's somewhat lateral, but LSU and Ole Miss, like, are somewhat comparable in both region and general kind of vibe a little bit. And that they've always been pretty good, but never like amazing or blue blood programs, I would say. But LSU has kind of morphed a little bit into that in the past 20 years, given that we've won 3 championships and now the expectations are higher and we want playoffs or bust or national championship even. Meanwhile, Ole Miss, they've been kind of so used to a little bit above mediocrity for so long that they're not dying for a championship, although even that's shifting a little bit, and you give Lane Kiffin credit for that since he's kind of brought that appetite to him with their big wins. But he might be hungry for something more, and I think LSU could provide that if they wanted to. But I do think Brian Kelly will be the coach for at least one more year. But if LSU doesn't take a step forward in 2025, then some tough conversations might need to be had.
Okay, but like you've said, like we've all known, anyone can win here. It's just a matter of time, right? Maybe it's a cycle, because every 4 years or whatever, every time the title's in New Orleans, that's LSU's time. So if Ed O can win here, if Les Miles can win here, I know Saban kind of started getting the fire going, but these guys have kept it going. So is it then just a matter of, like you said, maybe BK just needs one more year or another year? Not that there's like a missing piece. I think maybe it's just a timing thing, right? The stars are pretty aligned.
I mean, my thinking is that, or my thing would say that BK is not supposed to be the person that just carries the torch. Like, he's not supposed to be the guy who just you know, rides what everyone else has built for him and, you know, takes it to a championship. Like, he's supposed to be one of the guys who advances the ball down the field and puts his own, you know, he, like, that's why we're paying him. We're not paying him, you know, almost like $100 million to be, cause that it's close to his contract, right? Isn't it 90?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, we're not paying him $90 million to just, you know, take what we have and like kind of ride it out. And hopefully like the LSU brand and the LSU prestige and that, you know, that tiger on the side of the helmet attracts enough talent that you can get another championship.
Well, it'd be nice if you did that. I mean, I'll take that as opposed to him coming here and just nothing happened. It's like he...
No, like, I understand, but I guess my point is, it's like, well, why him then? Like, why did we need... Oh, why not Orgeron? Orgeron already did
because,
it.
Sure, but then it was a... It took a way downward turn afterwards. And, you know, there was, you know, I guess rumblings that he, you know, he kind of lost the program. The guys were not buying in. So to me, that's enough to change.
Yeah. I mean, we're just spitballing here, but,
do we want to talk about some of the other games this past weekend or what's coming up this week?
Yeah, I mean, Georgia lost. I think the college football playoff, it's – I mean, there are still a few – some teams still winning, right? Like, Oregon's doing their thing. They're obviously going to be one of the top seeds. Ohio State still looking good because their only loss is, what, a few points to Oregon. So, yeah. Then there's the other teams. I think Clemson's still trying to I don't know. It's like they probably shouldn't be in the playoff. They probably will just because of their record alone. But – Miami took a beating, well, not a beating, but Miami lost, finally. I think it was nipping at their heels for weeks, but then they finally caved to a pesky Georgia Tech team. And then, I don't know, the playoff rankings came out. I was going to make some joke about how the country was waiting with anticipation on how the course is going to be going, but, you know, the playoff rankings came out. Tigers were, what, 15 at that point? Now we're back in the 20s, so... I don't know. I'd say there's probably literally a handful. So, like, what, 5 teams that you think, yeah, they'll probably be 1 through 4, 5 or 6. Even with the loss, I'd say Oregon's probably still in the top 5. But Everybody else is probably going to have two losses because it just keeps working out that way each week, you know?
Yeah, there hasn't been one team that's the easy championship favorite. Oregon has looked like the best team all season, and they probably had the best win against Ohio State, but it could be anybody's ball game. The AP poll came out today, and it's not exactly indicative of the playoff rankings, but I imagine they'll be similar. And there's four Big Ten teams in the top five, the only outsider being Texas, I think, at three. So that's kind of crazy to see, because earlier in the season, it was the flip where it was all SEC teams piled up at the top. And then now that SEC round robin grudge match slugfest has happened, and we keep knocking each other off, and then the SEC teams are rolling with two and even three losses. So it's hard to say who's going to make it. It's really anybody's game, which I guess makes it interesting. But yeah, we could have any number of teams rising above the pack, and Tennessee versus Georgia this week is not an effective playoff elimination game, kind of like LSU versus Alabama was, but pretty close to that. So we'll see how that happens. It's in Athens with College Game Day there. So the Bulldogs need this one to stay on track. It'd be pretty crazy to say just a few weeks ago that Georgia was not looking like they're going to make the playoff, but if they drop this one to Tennessee, then they could get left out with three losses. It's hard to say that they would make it at that point, but I guess that's what makes it entertaining and why the season has been so, I guess, chaotic and fun to watch overall.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's been safe this year. I mean, Miami going down, a big loss, Georgia going down this weekend, a big loss. I mean, now, like you said, Daniel, Oregon's about the only one that's kind of consistently looked good. Tennessee kind of sneaking back after taking a loss or two early in the year. But I watched some highlights last night of games that I'd missed while I was out at our game, but it was a disappointing weekend for me, and it didn't make me want to watch the rest of college football.
Yeah, well, I watched some of the
Georgia Tech. The BYU game was pretty fun. I don't know if y'all caught that last night, late nightcap.
No, I was asleep.
I saw some highlights of it, and man, the Utah's AD came out and was just guns a-blazing, saying they got robbed, like they got jobbed by the referees. And I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, I get it, but it's like, you still did, like, they didn't score any points, like 0 points in the second half. And after this one call, it's like they still marched all the way down the field. So I just want to, you know, hand him a tissue, right? Ma'am, just here's the tissue box. Cry, bro. No love. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. And then on the Miami game when they lost to Georgia Tech, Miami's been playing teams close all season. They finally got one pulled over on them. Georgia Tech fans stormed the field afterwards, which has been another theme this year. A lot of field stormings. I saw a comment online. It was like, Georgia Tech storms the field against Miami. LSU fans storm the parking lot after a game against Alabama.
Yeah, really.
It was kind of rough. But so we still may see more craziness. Undefeated Indiana still somehow has Ohio State next week, so that should be an interesting one.
Should be. And Ole Miss stormed the field after beating Georgia.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I knew there was somebody else this week.
Yeah. But as far as next week, I'd say that's probably the other really good game is I think Georgia will course correct and take down Tennessee and just add more chaos into the mix because I just think they're good enough. I mean, Kirby losing two in a row, that doesn't really happen. So I think Georgia will be fine. But other than that, yeah, there's really not many other games. I don't know, maybe Utah will be mad and they'll go into Colorado and give them a game. They got the high noon kickoff with people really starting to voice their opinion against. I don't know, would you say maybe Texas could be walking into a trap there up in Arkansas for a noon game? Well, 11 a.m. game, actually. Well, actually, Ohio State has Northwestern next week.
Yeah, I could see Texas potentially, I don't know about losing, but at least playing a close one at Arkansas. At the same time slot, the noon one, Clemson versus Pitt in the ACC is effectively a playoff elimination game because SMU is leading in the ACC right now, and somebody's got to make – or SMU and Miami, excuse me, now that Miami's lost. But Clemson and Pitt are both kind of on the outside looking in, so they'll try and keep their hopes alive. But like you said, there's not too many huge matchups kind of down the ballot in the SEC. We got Missouri at South Carolina, two teams that are not amazing, but pretty decent. So they could put up a fight against each other. And then one in the AAC is Navy versus Tulane, two teams that only have one loss. And they're both on kind of the fringe conversation for the Group of Five playoff teams. So both of them are still keeping their or nursing their slim playoff hopes. So could be interesting for the Green Wave fans such as myself to watch.
Yep. So I don't know if we'll learn too much next week. I guess, like I said, unless Georgia, if Georgia handles business, then that'll make it muddier. And if Texas was not to handle business, that would definitely make it muddier. But I think other than that, we won't really see too much movement next week. But obviously, we got to figure something out because we're going on the road to Florida. I would like to think that we have the upper hand because I feel like overall our talent's probably better. And at least we have some solidified positions like quarterback. You know, they're running on fumes there in Gainesville with their offense. But I don't know. I think they're gonna be up for us. They don't care. In a weird way, it's like A&M with us. Like they just, I don't know. The fans and the team. There's bad blood there. I don't know if it's ever since the Hurricane game. Remember, like 10 or so years ago. But anyway, I feel like they've got a burr in their saddle about us. So LSU better be ready. Hopefully, they can take this butt whipping that they just got, turn it around, and try and prove something and show that they still got something left to show themselves, the fans, playoff committee in case all hell breaks loose, but still, I mean, we're not going to make the playoff. We don't deserve to, like you said, Tommy, but I still feel like they should play as if they still have a chance, right? Because what else are they doing it for if not?
Yeah, I mean, you're playing for pride now. Yeah. And we'll see what this team is made of. This is not a good Florida team at all, but they have been able to turn on a little bit of magic. I mean, what is it? They played Georgia pretty close early in the year. I mean, early in their game 2 weeks ago. So I think this is for LSU. We should be able to take care of business, but this is one where if you don't come in prepared and you don't come locked in, it could get away from you. I think we win. I'd like to pick us to lose just because I'm so mad right now, but I think we probably win. But right now the line is LSU -5. I like us to cover there? I guess. I could see us winning by like a touchdown, but I think it's probably another letdown game where you watch and you see more stupid mistakes. You see more penalties from Will Campbell and the offensive line that you probably shouldn't see. You see bad decision-making from Nussmeier probably poor defense poor defense than you should see. But I'd say I pick LSU to win. We'll say 35-28, something simple like that.
He's checking out on it, but yeah, this is kind of the Brian Kelly special where he beats the teams for the most part that he should, and this is a game that we should win. Billy Napier, I guess, not coaching for his job considering their athletic director said they were backing him at least for this year, but you got to think there are some whispers. So Florida at home is a tough at home for Florida is a tough test. And I want LSU to win it to avoid the 3-game slide and just all out embarrassment in the SEC. And I think they will bounce back a little bit after these past two consecutive losses. So I'm going to take the Tigers as well. We'll do 31-24, I guess a touchdown victory. So hoping to witness that this Saturday afternoon.
I too will give it to the Tigers. I think it'll be like another, foggy shoe throwing game. There seems to be a lot of that down there in the swamp, where there's just like, we drilled a field goal in fog and we, had to hear from the ground that it went through. Then there was the shoe game. Then we've had other games in Florida where it's just, the four fourth downs, all just anything can happen down there for some reason. Right. So I think something like that'll be in play, but I think the Tigers, kind of like the shoe game, they probably pull ahead and win a game maybe they shouldn't have, but I'll say 23-20 Tigers.
Nice. I think that's it, though.
There wasn't really any other news that came out this week, right? Like, as far as, I don't know.
No, the basketball team started, but they're beating up on the lowly non-conference opponents. So if the football continues to go bad, I might have to turn that on. But for now, I think that's a little bit on the back burner.
I saw one final note on my end. I saw a big time home run and like a scrimmage from Jared Jones. So it got me kind of excited for LSU baseball. I think that's probably the next bright spot we're going to have this year.
That's right, because he's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back, and he, you know, looks the part. I'll send it to y'all. Just looks like an absolute moonshot.
Bear bomb. Right.
Yeah, bear bomb.
I saw what you saw. He just took his sweet time walking towards first base and bat flipping. Absolutely. But yeah, basketball is about to start. We got that heating up here, as well as, you know, some fall ball with the baseball. But I don't know. I still got a lot of football left to play as well. I would say, I don't know. I'd be great if the Tigers were healthy and we could see like a very solid performance from them. Cause at this point on, after that, it's two home games, and I really hope the fans can still show up, even though these games won't maybe necessarily mean as much. You know, they're not going to get up for that, kind of like they did the Bama or the Ole Miss game, but they could, especially if it's a night game. I think we really need to put it to Vandy and Oklahoma, because Vandy could be dangerous. You know, like, they've already taken down a team that we just lost by like five touchdowns too. So no letting up, basically, at this point. I think they need to bring the live tiger into the locker room this week, let it loose, scare some people, get some blood rates up, and just see if that changes it. Maybe that's something that can give the Tigers a spark.
At this point, let's try it all. That's what I think.
Need it.
Yeah. Unless you guys had anything else, I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Definitely tune in next week. This season is not over. We have got probably a Capital One bowl game left to play for, people. So we need all hands on deck so that we can make it to Orlando or the Cheez-It Bowl or whatever it is that's waiting for us, assuming we finish out these three games undefeated, starting with Florida, as well as, you know, the other one or two games next weekend that have really any bearing on anything. We're going to have it for you all here. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned. Until next time, keep your heads up, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.